This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Alec Murdaugh. Let's talk about old Alec. His case just moved twice in 2 days. A federal judge has now thrown out Murdaugh's $600,000 lawsuit against Becky Hill, the former clerk whose jury interference got his murder convictions overturned. The next day, his lawyers have filed a motion demanding prosecutors dig back through every file and every agency for anything that could help him before the April retrial through a Brady Giglio motion. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, is here with us to discuss. Let's talk about the lawsuit getting thrown out. First of all, I found it kind of interesting. $600,000 was at play. It was really never about the money. That was the vehicle to get the lawsuit going. But when studying the argument, you can hate Alec Murdaugh and he can still make valid arguments. $600,000, he says he spent out of his retirement accounts to pay his attorneys. And then because Becky Hill screwed up the trial, now he has to do this all over again. So because she screwed it up, that tainted the pool. All that money I spent, even though he lost, well, he's outed. He's already paid it. He should get that paid back since he has to go back and do this all over again. The court said, nope, she wasn't the true cause, the injury, if you will, to this, and you don't get that money back. I don't know. I kind of agree with Alec on that one. She tainted the pool. She should probably pay, but the judge did keep the door open and said, after the next trial, you might still be able to bring this one back, and you still might be able to try and get Becky a bill. What are your thoughts? Was this the right call to toss it out on the grounds that they did?
Well, first of all, Alec Murdaugh, it's nauseating to me. No matter what, he has to go to trial. Right? Yeah. That first trial is happening with or without Becky Hill. Yeah. So he was going to go to trial no matter what. So the preposterous notion that Becky Hill has to pay for his trial that he would have had to do no matter what is just that preposterous. Okay, so just on the face there. Becky Hill screws the pooch in the first trial, which is also nauseating that she stuck her nose and her mouth and idiotically decided to jabber badly about Alec Murdaugh, ruining that conviction. And now he has to do it again. He should be doing jumping jacks and whistling Dixie that she screwed up.
He's probably whistling Dixie. He does seem like someone who might whistle Dixie from behind bars. Like, what's that sound? It's this Alec. He's whistling Dixie again. Can you tell him to shut up? It's 10 o'clock at night. I'm trying to get sleep. I can see that being a problem. Alex doing Dixie. Yeah, I mean, put it this way. I mean, it's funny to argue this, but if you're having a pool party and Becky Hill decides to show up and pour toxic acid into the pool, and you have to cancel, the pool party gets canceled. You got to drain the pool. You got to bring everybody back. The caterer has to come back. Everything has to be rehired. You got to pay for it all again. She's the one who screwed it up. I think she's liable for that.
Well, no matter what, you would have paid for your pool party.
You would.
You would.
But you got a case against the person that destroyed it, too, on purpose.
Well, that's the thing. She didn't do it on purpose.
Or does she just have to? She didn't do it up.
Her words were on purpose.
Yes.
I don't think she had any idea the impact that it would have. I really don't.
Because she's an idiot. You can't fix that part.
You can't fix that part. I was wondering how many other times she decided to, songbird.
So do I. I think every single case that's ever been near this woman, it should be reviewed for whatever she decided to be a songbird at. But it is an interesting argument. But the argument is, well, she can pay for your second one, maybe. if they want to bring a second suit off of this after the second trial. So she's obviously not in prison, but she's also not even now having to pay $600,000. The big point of the whole thing, though, was to get into discovery get people in for depositions in ways that they didn't necessarily have the levers of doing through the criminal process. That's why the civil area existed. It's also no why they filed the Brady Giglio motion. What do you think, how does this hurt the defense of Alec Murdaugh, if at all? Or was this a long shot to begin with when Poot and Dick decided to file this thing a couple of months ago?
Well, I want to touch base on something you said about filing the lawsuit. 100% that is why they did it, just so they could get more information. And when it comes to Becky Hill, she's a turnip. You can't get blood from a turnip, even if it was $600,000 and the judge would have said, she would have just been like, okay, I'm going to file bankruptcy. I can't pay this. I can never pay this. She doesn't have that kind of money. She's in lots of trouble money-wise, I think anyway, with everything she had to put out to defend herself. And obviously her book didn't make a dime because it was yanked from the shelf. So all of that aside, we know that this was for this purpose. As far as did it help them, you know, it couldn't hurt them. I mean, anytime you can get more information on a case, it's good. And anytime you can get people to discuss something multiple times, it's good because they always add, change, just accidentally. Everybody's first statement is always the one to go with. After that, it always gets corrupted, especially years down the line.
Wouldn't it be interesting if Becky did a new book? I would read that one, like about all of this, about the aftermath, about mucking up Murdaugh. There's the title, Mucking Up Murdaugh, with a foreword by Alec singing Dixie. That'd be part of the audiobook. Alec sings Dixie over the phone from prison.
Hey, I got a song I want to sing, everybody.
You know, I think it'd be great. I would get that one.
The problem is she needs something to plagiarize.
That's true.
Plagiarize.
Well,
actually have to write it.
Dixie, if you get Dixie in there, that'd be plagiarizing that, although that's probably not copywritten. The new motion here doesn't name a hidden document or anything. It doesn't name a one lying witness. It demands prosecutors search 10 categories, witness deals, discipline files, lab records, and then swear in writing that nothing helpful to Murdaugh exists beyond what they have handed over. Dick Harpootlian filed it knowing that he can't really point to a single specific thing, but there's been some issues with SLED. There's been some SLED agents that have lost their jobs since the last trial for covering some things up, not necessarily connected to Murdaugh, but other cases and such, which will, I'm sure, be brought into this trial. They're going and asking, is SLED hiding something, you know, or is Harpootlian just fishing? Do you think there's anything there that might come to light? And what are the odds of Alec getting anything when you're asking SLED to investigate SLED and basically come up with anything that they didn't show the first round?
Well, first of all, I do think two things can be true at once. In other words, yes, it's a fishing expedition, but secondarily, this is all stuff that has to be provided anyway. You can't hide Brady Giglio information. If you got a bad cop, a cop who has done something against the rules, that their personnel file, if they are involved in this case, not just any miscellaneous SLED person, but if they were involved in this case, that has to be coughed up anyway. So to me, he's not asking for anything, you know, the lab work, all that. He's not asking for anything unusual or out of the ordinary. He's just putting it on record and he wants it said. There's nothing. And you know what that always makes me think with him is maybe he knows a little something and he wants to make sure that he gets it. And if he doesn't, he's going to, you know, play the, oh, wait a minute, I asked for this and you didn't give it and see, it's right here. I wouldn't doubt that at all with him.
But wait, there's more. Yeah. I mean, and it's not like they're going into this. I mean, I'm not trying to be sympathetic to Alec Murdaugh. I think he's a horrible human being. But I don't know. There's points here to be argued. David Owen ran the Murdaugh investigation. Last year, a judge threw out the murder indictment against Michael Colucci, another case connected to Owen, after finding evidence that could have helped Colucci was never properly turned over, which is exactly what the defense of Alec Murdaugh is asking for and saying, you didn't cross the T's and dot the I's over there. Did you do it over on our side? Now the same agency is being told to go search its own Murdaugh files and report what it finds. So who's in charge of that, Jen? Who's going to go through? Is it Colucci that's going to have to go through and go, oh yeah, shoot, I missed this? Or is an independent body going through to look for the Brady Giglio information? How do they make sure that the information goes where it needs to appropriately go?
Well, I can only tell you how it does in the Bureau.
Yeah.
If something like this comes up, you'll have a couple of, and it's the worst to get called on these teams. I've been on taint teams. Those also suck. Where basically it's like, okay, Jen, you need to look through and see if there's anything that was missed. Mm-hmm. And so you and maybe another person is literally going to go through the file and make sure they have everything that would be possibly exculpatory. The difference between, I think, the Bureau and a lot of these other agencies, when I was in, it was an open book. In other words, huge war room, and we just invited every defense attorney, come in and look. It's all right here for you. Mm-hmm. I know now, working on the expert witness side, I see they're doing a lot with just putting everything on thumb drives and sending it all out like they did in Idaho. Here's all these terabytes. Good luck. But that's the way to do it, is just you give them everything. Don't sift and sort through and say, oh, this is too much inside information on how we operate. And this is this. And just give it to them. That's the safe thing to do. And the Bureau does that. If SLED didn't do that, or because of this request, I think you're going to see a couple of SLED agents going through this and double checking that they have everything.
Yeah, I mean, cross the T's, dot the I's, because impropriety is what the defense of Murdaugh is going to be going after here. If they can't get all the way to a true third-party culprit and point a finger at somebody, that's going to be something Karen Reed-ish, where it's like, can't really say for sure it was this, but we're going to allude to this. And reasonable doubt is a powerful thing, and that's really what they're going after. One of the big pieces of evidence that's being talked about here on the Murdaugh side is the white shirt that Alec was wearing the night that they were dead. The white shirt Murdaugh wore that night was supposed to carry the blood spatter that tied him to the killing. SLED zone testing came back negative for human blood. And then a chemical applied during testing left the shirt unusable forever. No retest, no second lab ever. The defense calls it suppression. The state would call that chemical a standard step. Do you buy that the shirt was ruined by accident? Their own two agencies disagreed, and now no one else can check the shirt that they claim, you know, may have something on. One test says no, then another test said, no, there is something here. And okay, well, let's double check it from the defense, because your first one said no, your second one says yes, but now no one can confirm either way. It's convoluted, it's confusing, it seems a little shady, even if it's not, and I'm sure it'll be brought up in that sort of light. What do you think the shirt does for Alec Murdaugh in trial two, if anything?
Well, a couple things. First of all, this happens all the time with DNA. You only get so many chances at this microscopic piece of DNA, and then it's adulterated and nobody else can test it afterwards. So, you know, issues, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the same with this situation, in a sense, that what was used to be able to extract the blood proteins on that shirt adulterated then the shirt for further testing, just like you pointed out. Sorry to repeat. So that is absolutely a question for the jury. The jury's going to hear both sides of it. They're going to hear exactly what happened. And then the jurors are going to have to make that determination. But that's part of the process, the chemical process. You're going to have a lab technician go, listen, I do this all the time. And unfortunately, it destroys what I'm doing, but that doesn't change my results. It doesn't show my results aren't good. And then they're either going to believe the lab tech or they're not.
Well, and which one do they believe? The one, the first test that says nothing, or the second one that says magically now there might be something here? I mean,
some tests are better than others, Tony.
Sure. It's just, what do you, it's not the strongest piece of evidence in the world at all for a case like this. And when there's so much question, it just adds another piece of doubt to the pile, it seems. We'll see where it goes. Obviously, there's many a months away before this starts, but it's going to be one of those that before you know it, it's going to be here. I mean, we're almost towards the end of this year now, so it's starting up early next. Your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube on Alec Murdaugh.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
On June 17th, a South Carolina judge threw out a murder indictment. Judge Roger Young ruled the state had withheld evidence that helped the defendant and that it sat on that evidence for nearly a decade. The lead investigator on that case was a SLED agent named David Owen. Owen also led the investigation into the murders of Maggie and Paul Murdaugh, but that case I was talking about there, not theirs. On August 5th of 2026, Alec Murdaugh's lawyers filed a motion in his murder case. They want prosecutors ordered to search every file, every agency, and every personal record, then turn over anything favorable to the defense. They also want the state to confirm in writing that nothing else exists. They're asking for all of it within 30 days. A Brady motion is what it is. A Brady motion sounds like courthouse paperwork. This one is aimed at everything that's changed for the state since 2023. Fishing expedition, right? They're out there just to see what they can get. Maybe somewhat. But they're fishing in a pond that knows, they know it has some fish in. What I just talked about there at the front of this, Judge Roger Young ruling that the state had withheld evidence that helped a different defendant. And the lead investigator on that case where that information was withheld was SLED agent David Owen. Same one from the Murdaugh case. There's some fish. Doesn't mean they're biting, though. Doesn't mean anything improper went wrong either in the Murdaugh case, but there's been fish on other expeditions. The name, the Brady violation, the Brady motion, if you will, I should say, the name comes to us from Brady v. Maryland, a 1963 U.S. Supreme Court case. The rule it created: when the state investigates a crime, some of what it finds can help the defendant. The law says the defense gets that evidence. If there's things that can help, it's evidence. Evidence doesn't have a side. Evidence is evidence, and it lands where it lands. And it can't be held back just because it doesn't go down the narrative you want it to go down or think it should go down. Wanting and thinking are not fact. Break the rule, and the remedy runs from a reversal of a conviction to a tossed indictment. It's basically saying, put all your cards on the table so we can play fairly. The duty doesn't cover every scrap of paper. It covers evidence material to guilt or punishment, which means information that could actually change the outcome. The second case, Gilgo v. United States, or Giglio, I should say, versus United States, extends the rule to the state's own witnesses. That one came out of a prosecution that hit a deal with its star witness, plea deals, promises of immunity, misconduct files, anything the defense could use to challenge a witness's credibility also has to be turned over. The duty also reaches the whole team. Courts read Brady to cover favorable evidence in the hands of police and crime labs, even when prosecutors never saw it. That's part of why this motion demands searches of agencies and personnel, not just the prosecution's case file. South Carolina adds one more layer. Rule 5 of the state's criminal procedure makes disclosure a continuing duty that doesn't end when a trial ends or the first batch is delivered. And Murdaugh's lawyers argue the obligation ratchets with full force upon retrial. Alec Murdaugh was convicted in March of 23 of murdering his wife and son. The South Carolina Supreme Court overturned those convictions in 2026 over former clerk Becky Hill's prejudicial comments to jurors. The retrial is now set for April of 27 before a new judge, Judge Deborah McCaslin. Murdaugh remains in prison for dozens of financial crimes that he has pled guilty to. The new motion was filed by his defense team, Dick Harpootlian, Jim Griffin, Philip Barber, Maggie Fox, and Andrew Hand. It renews a discovery request the defense first filed in July of 2022 and adds 10 categories of material the state would have to search for and produce. In plain English, the state would have to produce any new or changed deals with its witnesses. It would have to turn over new witness statements and any statements that contradict old ones. It would also have to hand over updated personnel files, disciplinary records, and internal affairs materials on the investigators and forensic analysts who built the case, of which there's some updated files. The demands cover new DNA testing information, search warrants obtained since the first trial, and anything from the appeal that bears on the integrity of the verdict or the conduct of trial participants. The last category in this case includes a clerk whose conduct already erased one verdict. The forensic demands go granular down to proficiency testing on the analysts and the software used during the investigation. The motion reaches past the murder case too. It demands favorable material from Sledge's investigation of the September 2021 roadside shooting involving Curtis Eddie Smith and from Sledge's file on Murdaugh's alleged drug activity. The defense's argument comes down to time. Their filing says the people and agencies involved have continued to generate, receive, and become aware of information since the original discovery closed before the 2023 trial. Behind the legal language, the claim is concrete. In the 3 years since investigators retired this. One got fired. Some have actually retired. And another murder case has completely fallen apart. David Owen was Sled's lead investigator on the Murdaugh murders. At the 2023 trial, defense attorney Jim Griffin pressed him on why Sled waited 3 months before searching Elmida, a family property where investigators theorized the murder weapons went. Sled had permission to enter the whole time. Griffin asked whether that was an opportunity missed, and Owens answered, probably yes. Owen was also the lead investigator on the Michael Colucci case. Colucci was charged in 2016 with murdering his wife, Sarah, who was found dead outside one of the couple's jewelry stores in Somerville in May of 2015. The defense argued Sarah took her own life and his first trial ended in 2018 with a deadlocked jury. Then in June of 25, days before jury selection for Colucci's retrial, prosecutors turned over evidence the state had held for nearly 10 years. Sarah's mother testified. She told Owen in a 2015 interview that Sarah had talked about ending her own life in the same place and in the same way she died. Owen denied being told that. Judge Young quashed the indictment, ruling the state failed to properly disclose the evidence. Reporting on the ruling tied the withheld material to Owen's investigation. At the hearing that ended the case, a defense attorney asked Owen whether he highlights every text message in his reports. His answer, you put stuff in the report that's important to you. Owen retired in June of 24 after 28 years before the ruling came down. Stuff that's important to you. Oh, you mean like the person that died talking about how they were going to die before they died in the exact way that they died? That wasn't important to you? Well, what kind of investigator are you if that wasn't important to you? The quash was without prejudice, which means the state can charge Colucci again if it convenes a new grand jury. The judge told prosecutors to bring that grand jury a fuller case next time. The investigator who got fired is Ryan Kelly. Kelly was the SLED senior special agent who led the roadside shooting investigation, the September 2021 incident that connected Eddie Smith to Alec Murdaugh. At the murder trial, he testified about the evidence tying Smith to that shooting. He also told jurors investigators found none whatsoever, no evidence connecting Smith to the murders. Kelly left SLED in 2025 and became chief inspector of internal affairs at the Charleston County Sheriff's Office. On June 8th of 26, that office fired him after an administrative investigation into allegations of harassment, conduct unbecoming, improper procedures, and unsatisfactory performance. Now, could have absolutely no relation whatsoever to anything of how he handled the Alec Murdaugh trial. Yeah, totally true. Or it can show pattern of behavior. I don't know. Public records don't describe what Kelly is accused of doing. Nothing ties the firing to his years at SLED, and there's no indication any of it touches the Murdaugh investigation. Whether those records could even be used in court is a question for the judge to decide. The motion never names Owen or Kelly. What it demands is updated personnel files, internal affairs records, and any pending or sustained misconduct findings for every officer who participated in the investigation, arrest, or prosecution of Alec Murdaugh. They're looking to poke holes. Fitz News, which has covered both former agents, noted the filing's language is broad enough to reach whatever exists about either man if prosecutors intend to call them or if the records bear on the state's case. The state side of this deserves the same weight. The motion identifies no specific witnesses with a credibility problem and points to no specific piece of hidden evidence. It's asking prosecutors to search for material that may not exist, and the state will likely describe the exercise as a fishing expedition. Prosecutors made a version of that argument in July when the defense demanded independent DNA testing, calling the request aimed more at public consumption than providing viable evidence. Attorney General Ellen Wilson's office, whose grand jury's division prosecuted the first trial and runs the retrial, hasn't responded to that one yet. The demand sits in front of Judge McCaslin. The defense wants the updated search finished and the material disclosed within 30 days of an order. McCaslin can grant that, narrow it, or deny it, and the state gets its chance to respond first. The next hearing is set for August 14th of 2026 at the Lexington County Courthouse. The written confirmation carries its own consequences. If the judge orders it, prosecutors would have to certify they ran a diligent and current search and that no additional favorable material exists. If favorable evidence surfaced at trial anyway, the defense would hold two things: the evidence itself and the state's written statement that it wasn't there. In the Colucci case, the distance between what the state knew and what it disclosed ended the prosecution. Judge Young described the failure there as a Brady violation. 14 months later, Murdaugh's lawyers built their motion on that same rule. Every filing here traces back to one night. June 7th of 2021, Maggie Murdaugh and her son Paul were shot to death at Moselle, the family's hunting property in Colleton County. Maggie was 52, a mother described by people who knew her as devoted to her two boys. Paul was 22, the younger of the two, still in college. The lawyers will argue about files and signatures on August 14th. Whether the judge and whatever the judge decides, the next trial for Alec Murdaugh is going to be a different one. The trial is set for April. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in as we slowly inch our way to April of 2027. We're already in August. September, October, November, December, January, February, March, April. 8 months out.
And that's if the date holds.
You think it will? Think we're going to hit this thing in April? Or you think it's going to be delayed? Huh. Anyway, we'll continue our conversation there in the comments section. If you've not done so already, hey, check out the podcast, the audio version of this program with even more content than you get on YouTube. The link is right there on YouTube if you're watching us. Just follow that on your phone, on your device, and it'll take you to whatever podcast player you so choose. And hit subscribe. You can take us on your walks, in the car, wherever you're going, and not miss any of our true crime coverage right here. Until next time, my name is Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.